بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So in the short reminder today, inshallah ta'ala, before we break our fast, we want to take some benefits from Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala on the Quran, the virtues of the Quran, and the rewards for reciting the Quran, and so the Shaykh begins his reminder with the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَّةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ. Indeed, those who recite the Book of Allah and who establish the prayer and who spend from that which we have provided them, both in the secret and in the open, they hope for a trade that will never expire. Starting with this ayah in the Quran, the Shaykh mentions that when we speak about the tilawa or the recitation of the Quran, then this is of two types. There is a tilawa which the Shaykh calls hukmiyya, and this basically means a recitation in which a person is actually following what the Quran is telling him to do. So in the Quran, for example, we are ordered to believe in Allah, believe in His messengers, believe in His angels, believe in paradise, believe in hellfire. So to follow that command, which is to have iman, to actually believe in these things. Likewise, we are ordered with obligations, the obligation of the prayer, the obligation of the fasting, the obligation of the zakah. So likewise, to actually abide by these commands. And similarly, those things which Allah has prohibited us from in the Quran, from shirk, from worshipping others besides Allah, from disobedience to parents, from falling into many of the other sins that Allah has prohibited, then likewise to keep away from all those things. So this type of recitation, this type of tilawa, is called a tilawa hukmiyya. Basically, you are following the actual commands of the Quran. This is one type. And the other type the Shaykh mentions is the tilawa which is lafziyya, which is the tilawa which we all commonly know, commonly understand, which most people understand, which is to simply recite the Quran in its wording. And so this is what most people understand of the Quran, of its recitation. And we are going to look, inshallah ta'ala, halfway through the lesson, in a bit more detail about this word tilawa. What does it mean? And how did the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and their students, the Tabi'een, how did they understand what is meant by the word tilawa, which is translated as to recite the Quran? So this Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan, as we see in Surah Al-Baqarah, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن حدا للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed as guidance, containing guidance, and as clear proofs, clear evidences of guidance, and as a criterion between the truth and between the falsehood. So the virtue of this Quran, first of all, and likewise the virtue of the month in which it was revealed, they go together. For that reason, we are commanded to fast the month of Ramadan. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْحْ. The ayah continues, so whoever amongst you witnesses this month, meaning this month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was revealed, then let him fast this month. So we're going to look at two types of recitation, the two types of tilawa. The tilawa in the first part, which is lafziya, and the Shaykh says, وَهِيَ قِرَاءَتُهُ. This is the recitation of the Quran. He says, وَقَدْ جَاءَتِ النُّصُوصَ الْكَثِيرَةِ فِي فَضْلِهَا إِمَّا فِي جَمِيعِ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِمَّا فِي سُوَرٍ أَوْ آيَاتٍ مُعَيَّنَةٍ مِنْهُ. So he says, there are many texts which have come from the Messenger of Allah وسلم about the excellence of the Qur'an. Either the Qur'an as a whole, just the Qur'an as a whole, or specific chapters of the Qur'an, or specific verses of the Qur'an. And then the Shaykh will bring us many ahadith in this regard. So from them is the hadith of Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is the one who learns the Qur'an and then he teaches it. And so keep in mind that when we speak about learning the Qur'an, we are not speaking only about learning how to recite the Qur'an, because this is only one half of the entire thing. This is only one half of the purpose behind the Qur'an. And this will become clear, inshallah ta'ala, as we will learn how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to learn and act upon the Qur'an in small pieces. So this hadith was reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And likewise the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الماهر بالقرآن مع السفرة الكرام البررة والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. The Messenger of Allah وسلم said, the one who is skilled in the Quran, he is skilled in the recitation of the Quran, then he will be in the company of the noble, the dutiful, the messenger angels, a specific type of angel. And the one who recites the Qur'an and he has, you know, he stutters or he has difficulty in it and it is hard upon him, then he will have two rewards. So this now is an encouragement to everybody, every person, not to be shy and not to hold back from reciting the Qur'an, even if he finds a difficulty. Or even if he finds that he will be, you know, some people might feel that they will be looked down upon, or they might be embarrassed. This hadith is an encouragement to ignore all of that, and to continue in trying to recite the Qur'an, despite whatever difficulty that you might face. And over time, inshallah ta'ala, you will overcome those difficulties. And in any case, the Shaykh says, the two rewards, first of all, you get the reward of the actual recitation that you are doing, the fact that you are reciting, and secondly, the reward for the difficulty that you encounter, that you are trying to pass over, while you are reciting the Qur'an. Likewise, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abi Musa Al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and he gave us a parable, a similitude. So he said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. The similitude, or the likeness of the one who recites the Qur'an, of the believer who recites the Qur'an, is the example of a citrus fruit, like a citrus fruit. And رِيحُهَا طَيِّبْ وَطَعْمُهَا طَيِّبْ. What you get from this fruit is first of all, you can actually smell the fragrance of the fruit. It has a nice, beautiful fragrance when you smell it. And likewise, its taste is good as well. So this is the example of the believer, who he's a believer to begin with. He has iman, and then he recites the Quran on top of that. Right? So he has a good smell, and likewise a good taste by virtue of iman and then the Quran. And as for the believer, وَمَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَلَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. And as for the believer who does not recite the Qur'an, meaning it's not in his habit or his routine to always recite the Qur'an, then he is like the date. He's like the date. The date doesn't have a fragrance. Dates don't have a fragrance like you have the citrus fruit. However, its taste is sweet. Its taste is sweet. So in other words, in both situations there is excellence and virtue for the believer, but the one who recites the Qur'an and who is frequent in reciting the Qur'an, then he has something additional, something extra, that he has a fragrance about him and around him that the other believer does not have by way of the recitation of the Qur'an. Likewise, from the excellences and the virtues of the Qur'an and the recitation of the Qur'an is that the Qur'an will come as an intercessor. It will come and intercede on your behalf on Yawmul Qiyamah. The Messenger of Allah said in the hadith related by Abu Umama radiallahu anhu that he said, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Recite the Qur'an, for indeed it will come on the Day of Judgment as an interceder, as an intercessor for those who would recite it. So as we know, on the Day of Judgment there will be numerous types of intercession. Intercession meaning where somebody appeals to Allah Azza wa Jal on behalf of another person. Right? He appeals to Allah, asks Allah for something, for some relief, on behalf of another person. And we believe this as Muslims, that on the Day of Judgment there will be numerous types of shafa'ah, numerous types of intercession. Intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, intercession of the angels, intercession of the believers. And here we are told that the Quran likewise will come and it will intercede for those who would memorize it, recite it, and likewise who would abide and act by its teachings. Also, the hadith from Uqbah bin Amir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, does not one of you leave and go to the mosque? أَفَلَا يَغْدُو أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَيَتَعَلَّمَ أَوْ فَيَقْرَعَ آيَتَيْنِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ نَاقَتَيْنِ. Does not one of you go to the mosque and then learn or recite two verses from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal? Just two verses. These two verses are better for him than two camels. Two camels. Now camels, if you're in the desert, this is a prized possession for you. It is your food, it is drink for you. It is your food. It's a drink, first of all. A food one if you slaughter it, but it's your drink. And it is your transport. Right? This is a camel, is a prized possession. So similarly, it would be like today we have means of transport. And we have cars and things like this. Whatever possession you have, which is the same as a camel would be to the people in the desert. So if you come to the masjid and you learn two verses, or you recite two verses, this is better for you than two camels. And he says, وَثَلَاثٌ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ ثَلَاثٌ. And three, to recite three or to learn three is better for him than three camels. وَأَرْبَعٌ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَرْبَعٌ. And four are better for him than four camels. وَمِنْ أَعْدَادِهِنَّ مِنَ الْإِبْلِ. You know, of their like from the camels. So look at the excellence of even just coming to the masjid and learning, memorizing, reciting just two of the verses of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Similarly, in Sahih Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ. No group of people gather together in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the Book of Allah and studying it between themselves, except that tranquility descends upon them. Serenity and calmness and tranquility descends upon them. And mercy envelopes them. Mercy covers them. And the angels surround them. The angels surround them. And Allah, He mentions them to those who are near Him. Meaning to those angels who are near Him. So this is basically what we are engaged in right now. We have met together in a house from the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we are reciting the Book of Allah. We are studying the Book of Allah. And the reward for this is tranquility and mercy. And the angels being present and enveloping the believers, and Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning those people to those who are with Him in the highest company. Also we are taught in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the nature of this Qur'an. This Qur'an is such that on the one hand it is easy to memorize, and on the other hand it is something that can be very quickly forgotten. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, تعاهدوا القرآن فوالذي نفسي بيده لهو أشد تفلتا من الإبل في عقلها. He said that you should attend to or pay attention to the Qur'an, be attentive with the Qur'an, for by Him in whose hand is my soul, it is more severe in slipping away and passing away like the camel in its, you know, in the pen or in whatever, you know, the place that you, where you keep the camels. If it is left unattended, it will disappear. It will be on its way and it will be gone. So the Qur'an is similar. If you memorize the Qur'an, it is only kept in your heart by revising, reciting, and on top of this, acting upon the Qur'an. That is the best way to actually keep the Qur'an in memory, in your memory, in your heart, and in your memory. And likewise, if a person is unable to recall the Qur'an which he once knew, a surah, an ayah, then we are prohibited from saying, لَا يَقُلْ أَحَدُكُمْ نَسِيتُ آيَةً نَسِيتُ آيَةَ كَيْتْ وَكَيْتْ وَكَيْتْ بَلْ هُوَ نُسِّيَ. So the Messenger of Allah said in this hadith related by Muslim, let not one of you say, I forgot this ayah. I forgot such and such ayah or such and such ayah. Rather, he was made to forget. And the Shaykh rahimahullah explains, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ قَوْلَهُ نَسِيتُ قَدْ يُشْعِرُ بِعَدَمِ الْمُبَالَاتِ بِمَا حَفِذَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ حَتَّى نَسِيَ. This means that the statement, when you say, I forgot the Qur'an, or I forgot this verse, then this kind of means that you have a, that a person is showing, he's not concerned about the Qur'an. He doesn't care about the Qur'an. So it's a kind of a word that implies some sort of disrespect to the Qur'an. When you say, I forgot, I used to know such and such surah, but now I forgot that surah. I used to know such and such ayah, but I forgot this ayah. Because it implies that to forget the Qur'an is something which is light. something which is, there's nothing wrong with it, right? You are belittling this issue. So a person should never say that. Rather, it is the case that he was made to forget by the qada and the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he should alter and change that situation. Likewise, from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the reward for reciting the Quran. Man qara'a harfan min kitabillah falahu bihi hasana wal hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha. Whoever recited the Quran, whoever recited a word from the book of Allah, then he will have a good deed for it. And a good deed is multiplied with 10 of its likes. And I do not say, لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف. I do not say that ألف لام ميم together, these three letters together, is one word. ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. However, the ألف is one حرف, one حرف. And the لام is one حرف. And the ميم is one حرف. So there are three. For every single letter in every single word, there is one reward, then it is multiplied 10 times over. And likewise, from the statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu himself, and he was from the great scholars of tafsir, along with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was from the great scholars of the Quran. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ الْمَتِينِ وَالنُّورُ الْمُبِينِ وَالشِّفَاءُ النَّافِعُ عِصْمَةٌ لِمَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِهِ وَنَجَاةٌ لِمَنْ أَتْبَعَهُ. Indeed, this Quran is the strong rope of Allah, and it is the clear light, and it is the beneficial cure, the beneficial healing, and it is a protection for the one who held fast to it, and it is a safety or deliverance for the one who followed it. This is a beautiful, beautiful statement from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. It is a rope of Allah to which one should cling to. It is a light which gives guidance, which directs a person. It is a healing for what is in the hearts of people of ignorance and of the various other diseases of the hearts, of anxiety, of, you know, the fear and all of those other things. It is a healing for the hearts, and it is a protection for the one who holds fast to it, and it is deliverance for the one who follows it. So after mentioning all of these texts, are general for the Quran, for the recitation of the Quran, and they indicate a tremendous reward for actions which are very simple and easy. You recite from your memory that which you've memorized, or you sit and you open the Quran. This is a very, very easy action to do on a daily basis. And so there are tremendous rewards, as you have seen. Then, in addition to this, in addition to the general mention of the virtues of the Quran, there are many texts which mention the virtues of specific surahs in the Quran. So from them, in Sahih al-Bukhari, from Abi Sa'id bin al-Mu'alla radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَأُعَلِّمَنَّكَ أَعْظَمَ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ هِيَ السَّبْعُ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنُ الْعَظِيمُ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ. He said, I will teach you the greatest chapter in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, which is Surah Al-Fatiha. It is the seven often repeated verses and the mighty Quran with which I was given. This Surah Al-Fatiha is so tremendous that we see in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah said, it has been made to be a pillar in the prayer. It is a pillar of the prayer, a rukun of the prayer. La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihatil kitab. There is no prayer for the one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in his prayer. And likewise from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah said, "Man salla salatan lam yaqra' fiha bi-fatihatil kitab, fahiya khidaj." يقولها ثلاثة. He said this three times. Whoever prays but does not recite the Fatiha, then it is khidaj. Khidaj. Khidaj is a word that refers to a woman who loses her child, an abortion, loses the child. Right? So, a person who prays without the Fatiha, then it is empty, and it is lost. And the Messenger would repeat this a number of times. So someone said to Abu Huraira, "Inna nakuna wara al-imam." But what about when we are behind the imam? So he said, "Iqra biha fi nafsik." Read it in yourself, meaning to yourself behind the imam, reported by Muslim. So Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening of the Qur'an. It is an introduction to the Qur'an. And this surah encapsulates all of the meanings of the Qur'an in just these seven verses. Beginning with the basmala, "In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the ever merciful to His servants." It begins with "Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen." Here Allah Azza wa Jal is praised on account of his rububiyyah, his lordship, the fact that he is the creator, the provider, the sustainer, and the fact that he has the names and attributes which belong to him. He's praised on account of that. And then Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So this first ayah is something that brings about love in the heart of a believer. When you recite this verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you know that it is by way of Allah, His lordship, His creatorship, and Him providing for you, that you enjoy all the benefits that you enjoy of life, of food, of drink, of hearing, of seeing. So when you recite this ayah, you're reminded of these favors and bounties, and this brings love in your heart for Allah Azza wa Jal. So this ayah inculcates, brings about love in the heart of a believer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is full of mercy. The one who is full of mercy, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and the one who is ever merciful to his believing servants. When a believer recites this ayah, he develops hope in his heart that Allah will forgive him. Right? Now his heart is hopeful for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, whose mercy surrounds every single thing. But then after this ayah, he then recites Maliki Yawm al-Din, the master of the day of judgment. And so this now inculcates within him fear, because he fears the accounting on the day of judgment for his deeds, and he fears the punishment of Allah. So not only is Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, but He's also the one who is Malik, the owner of the day of judgment. And He's the one who punishes and rewards, punishes or forgives. So when a believer recites these three verses, these are now the foundations of ibadah. These are the foundations of worship. What is worship? Worship begins in your heart, and it begins with these three feelings. Your love of Allah, which propels you to obey Him. You love Allah, it leads you to obey Him. Similar to how you would love your parents. A true sign of your love for your parents is that you would obey your parents. And then likewise, when you know that He is the most merciful, you hope in His forgiveness. And when you know that He is the master of the day of judgment, you fear His punishment. So a believer remembers this every time he recites this chapter in the prayer and outside of the prayer. And then we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. These two statements are statements of Tawheed. Of Tawheed. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. This is a statement that Allah Azza wa Jal alone is worthy of worship. And the proof for that is the three verses that came before. Because the three verses that came before, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah is the Lord of the worlds. And he has beautiful names, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, or Al-Malik. So by way of his Rububiyyah and his Asma'i wa Sifat, this is a proof that he is worthy of worship. So we say, Iyaka na'bud, you alone do we worship. Iyaka nasta'een, from you alone do we seek help. So this now is when we acknowledge that Allah is the Rabb, the Lord, the Creator, the Owner, the one who controls life and death and everything else of rain, provision, sustenance, everything. He is the one from whom we are seeking aid in our worship of Him. This is a proof for Allah's rububiyyah, and that we seek aid by way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'een. And then we ask Him for guidance. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. The path of those, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Not of those upon whom is your anger, nor of those who are astray. Here in the second half of the chapter, Allah Azza wa Jal has divided the whole of mankind into three groups. This is a classification of mankind. Mankind are of three groups. There are those upon whom is Allah's favor. They are those who receive knowledge and they act upon the knowledge. They have ilm and they have amal. So they receive knowledge and they act upon that knowledge. So they are the prophets and the messengers and their companions and those who are upon their way, because they combine between al-ilm wal-amal, between knowledge and action. Then he said, al-maghdubi alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم, not of those upon whom is your anger. Those upon whom is Allah's anger are the ones who have knowledge. They are given knowledge of the truth and guidance, but they do not act upon it. They neglect that knowledge and they do not act upon that knowledge. And so this trait and this quality is found amongst the Yahud. The Sahaba, they explain this ayah. That this ayah, this quality mentioned here of having the ilm, having the Torah, having the bayyinat in the Torah, having the ahkam, the law in the Torah, the laws in the Torah, and then not acting upon that. This brings upon the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is knowledge without action. And then he mentioned after that, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, nor of those who are astray. And those who are astray are those who act upon ignorance, who act upon other than knowledge. Right? So this is characterized, this quality we see is prominent amongst the Nasara, those who are the Christians, because they acted upon ignorance, without the law, upon other than sound revelation, and they worshipped Allah upon ignorance and upon innovations and things of that nature. Right, so this now is action upon jahl, upon other than knowledge. So these are the three types of people as it relates to the revelation of Allah. Those who combine between ilm and amal, and then those who have knowledge but they do not act upon it. And then those who act upon other than knowledge. And so we are constantly reminding ourselves every time that we recite this surah in the Quran, or in the prayer, that we not be like those people who came before us. That Allah makes us from those who upon whom is His favor, ilm wal amal, and not to be like those nations who came before us. And this means that amongst the Muslims are those who possess these two qualities, amongst the Muslims, because Muslims are those from the sum of those to whom a book has been sent. We are within that category of Muslims, and then the Yahud, and then the Nasara, and then others who received a book. Right, this applies to all of those people. So every individual, me, you, I, everybody, is in between these three states and conditions. In some cases, maybe he has knowledge and he acts upon that knowledge. In some cases, maybe he has knowledge, he's not acting upon it. In other cases, he is acting upon ignorance, without knowledge. A believer is always in either of these three conditions, you know, in his life. So therefore it is upon him to remove this jahl from himself, and also to abide by the Qur'an, to abide by with his knowledge. So this is a tremendous, tremendous surah, Suratul Fatiha. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, just on the middle verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, he's written a whole three volume book called Madarij al-Salikin, just on this one verse, because of the greatness of this verse. Then also the virtues and the excellence of Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, these chapters come immediately after Surah Al-Fatiha, and they are basically an explanation of the types of people mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. Because Surah Al-Baqarah, you see that it discusses the Yahud, the Jews. So after the introduction of the surah, it then goes on to mention the Bani Israel, Allah's favors upon them, His revelations upon them, and sending down the Torah upon them. But they did not abide by it, and they abandoned its teachings, they became arrogant, they altered its teachings, they altered its words, and they played fast and loose with this book. And so their hearts became hardened. So they are those upon whom is Allah's anger, because they did not act upon the knowledge He gave them. So Surah Al-Baqarah is an explanation of those who are Al-Maghdubi Alayhim. And then Ali Imran, which comes after that, is an explanation of those who are Al-Dhalin. Because in Surah Ali Imran comes the story of Isa Alayhi Salam, and those to whom he was sent. And within there is a refutation of some of the doctrines of the Christians. So you see that as you progress from Surah Al-Fatiha, as you progress and you move on into the chapters that follow, it is an continued elaboration of Surah Al-Fatiha, and of what we find in Surah Al-Fatiha. So these are these two chapters, and for that reason, they have tremendous virtue, as mentioned in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اقْرَأُوا الزَّهْرَوَيْنِ الْبَقَرَةَ وَآلِ إِمْرَانَ. Read the two illuminated, or the two glowing chapters, Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran. For indeed they will come on the day of judgment like two clouds, or two shades, or as if they are two groups of, you know, when you see a large flock of birds together forming almost like a cloud in the sky. You see birds sometimes, they do this at sunset, and there's literally thousands of them together, and they move all together like a cloud, right? This is what you're referring to, that they will come like two big clouds of birds, and they, meaning these two surahs, they will come and they will argue in favor of those who would recite these chapters. So read Surah Al-Baqarah, for indeed to take it, فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً, to take it is barakah, it is blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةً, and to leave it is basically like it's a type of sorrow and grief. وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةً, يعني السَّحَرَةً. And as for the magicians, the magicians, they are not able to handle it. Right? So Surah Al-Baqarah, it is a protection from magic, and likewise it will come on the Day of Judgment, and it will argue for your case on the Day of Judgment. And likewise, from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْبَيْتَ الَّذِي تُقْرَأْ فِيهِ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ لَا يَدْخُلْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Indeed, the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited, then the shaytan will not enter that house. And the Shaykh explains, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ فِيهَا آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي. This is because Surah Al-Baqarah contains the best, the most virtuous, excellent ayah in the Qur'an, which is Ayatul Kursi. And he says, وَقَدْ صَحَّ عَنَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ مَنْ قَرَأَهَا فِي لَيْلَةٍ لَمْ يَزَلْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَافِذٍ وَلَا يَقْرُبُهُ شَيْطَانٌ حَتَّى يُصْبِحُ. That the one who recites Ayatul Kursi in the night, then he will never cease to be, to have from Allah a protector, an angel that protects him. And nor will shaitan approach him up until he reaches the morning. And likewise, we see that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he narrated that Jibreel alayhi salam said, whilst he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is a door which has been opened from the heaven, which has never ever been opened before this. And then an angel descended from it and came to the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, Abshir bi Nurain, glad tidings of two lights which you have been given, and which no prophet has been given before you. Fatihatul Kitab wa Khawatim Surat al-Baqarah. The opening of the Quran, of the book, which is Suratul Fatiha, and the final verses of Suratul Baqarah. This is reported by Muslim. And also of those chapters in which there is the virtue mentioned is Surah Al-Ikhlas. So in Sahih Al-Bukhari from Abi Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهَا تَعْدِلُ ثُلْثَ الْقُرْآنِ. By him in whose hand is my soul, indeed it equals a third of the Qur'an. And so the third of the Qur'an, we have Tawheed in the Qur'an, we have the laws of Allah in the Qur'an, and then we have the stories, those things which are mentioned, the akhbar, about that which we cannot see, of paradise, hellfire, the messengers who came before. So the Qur'an contains these types, and the Surah Al-Ikhlas establishes the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, establishes His Tawheed, establishes His names, establishes His attributes, and it is a refutation of the Christians. This surah was revealed in refutation of the Christians who came to dispute with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so this was revealed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say He is Allah the One, Allahu Samad, the One who is the self-sufficient Master, who is perfect in everything, perfect in His knowledge, perfect in His mercy, perfect in his wisdom, in every attribute He has perfection. Lam yalid, He never begot. Walam yulad, nor was He begotten. A refutation of the Christians. Walam yakullahu kufuwan ahad, and there is none which is a co-equal to Him. So the Shaykh then goes on to explain that even though it has been described as being equal to one third of the Quran, this does not mean that a person can now come along and, you know, in his prayer, for example, and recite it three times, and therefore it is now fulfilled, the recitation of the Fatiha for him. No. And the Shaykh goes on to give a similar example of a statement or a hadith in which the Messenger of Allah said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah wahdahu, la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir." Whoever says this 10 times, then it will be equal to freeing 4 slaves from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. Right? To say that 10 times is equivalent to freeing 4 slaves. Now, does this mean that if a Muslim, as part of an expiation, because there are some actions which if a person falls into, the expiation for some of those actions is, one of the options is to free a slave. So can now a Muslim come along and simply recite this 10 times, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la shirk, to the end, recite 10 times, and now it has fulfilled his obligation, his act of removing, freeing the slaves? Of course not, it doesn't mean that. So this is simply mentioning the virtues of this surah by way of the meaning which it contains, which is one third of the meaning of the Qur'an. And finally, the Shaykh goes on to mention the mu'awwadhatayn at the end of the Qur'an, قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس. So from Uqba bin Amir رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said ألم تر آيات أنزلت الليلة لم يرى مثلهن قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس. That have you not seen verses which were revealed on this night, the likes which have not been seen before. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ سُرَةُ الْفَلَقِ and وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And the Prophet also said in another narration to Uqba that he ordered him to recite these two chapters. And then he said to him, مَا سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا وَلَسْتَعَاذَ مُسْتَعِيذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا. That no person has asked for anything with their likes, and nor has anyone who seeks refuge sought refuge with their likes. And this is because when you reflect upon these two chapters at the end of the Quran, you see that a person is seeking refuge with Allah, the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, and the Ilah of mankind, the deity of mankind. And this goes back right to the beginning of the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah is his rububiyyah. And then you have his mulk, that he is Malik, Maliki Yawmiddin. And that he is the one who is worshipped alone. Iyaka na'bud. The same meanings are repeated at the end, right at the end of the Quran. That he is the Rabb of mankind. He is the Malik, the King of mankind, and that he is the Ilah, the deity of mankind. So a person seeks refuge from Allah in these two chapters. First of all, from all of the evils, min sharri ma khalaq, from every evil in general. Every evil in general, all evil that exists in this creation. Then, these chapters go on to mention the specific types of evil that come to mankind. So from them is when the night comes and it brings with it the evil, min sharri ghasiqin. From the night when it envelopes. So the night brings it all sorts of evils, harms, the shayateen, the jinn, the predatory animals, the poisonous animals, and just things of that nature. And then from those, wa min sharri nafathati fil uqad, and then from magic, those who engage in magic. This is now a second type of evil and a harm within this creation. And then the third type, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. The envy that you find through which people give the evil eye. The evil eye. And then in the chapter after, we see that we are seeking refuge from the whispering of the shayateen among the men, and the shayateen among the jinn. And these whisperings are the whisperings that put doubts in our hearts, the shubuhat, about the religion, or they entice us to fall into those things which are unlawful, which are prohibited by following the desires of the soul and things of that nature which bring harm to a person. So these two chapters that were revealed, they have nothing like them has ever been revealed to any prophet or messenger prior to that time. And they are the greatest thing by which a person can seek refuge in Allah from all of the evils and the harms that come to him from within the creation. So after this, the Shaykh then says, my dear brothers, after mentioning all of these texts which mention the virtue of the Qur'an, he says, فَاجْتَهِدُوا إِخْوَانِي فِي كَثْرَةِ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ الْمُبَارِكِ لا سيما في هذا الشهر الذي أنزل فيه. So strive, O my brothers, in reciting the Quran, the blessed Quran, especially in this month in which it's been revealed, because there is a specific virtue in reciting it in abundance in this Quran, in this month of Ramadan. For Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Ramadan, and he would present the Quran to him every year once. But then in the year in which, prior to the passing away of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he recited or presented it to him twice, ta'akidan wa tathbitan, in order to strengthen it and fortify it. And following this practice, the Salaf radiallahu anhum, they used to frequently recite the Quran in Ramadan. So for example, Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, when Ramadan would enter, he would say, إِنَّمَا هُوَ تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامِ. When Ramadan entered, he would say, meaning this month is only reciting the Quran and feeding food to other people. That's all there is in this month. Meaning preoccupy yourself, or he would preoccupy himself, in these two deeds. Reciting the Quran or feeding food. Feeding food to the fasting people. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, when Ramadan would enter, ترك قراءة الحديث ومجالس العلم وأقبل على قراءة القرآن من المصحف. He would leave reading the hadith, and he would leave the gatherings of knowledge, and he would turn to the Quran, and he would recite it from the Mus'haf. And Qatada, rahimahullah, he would finish the Quran every 7 days outside of Ramadan. And then within Ramadan, he would finish it every 3 days. And then in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he would finish the Quran in one day or in one night. So you might be thinking, how is this even possible for a person to read the Quran in a single day? Well, if you think about it, if you time yourself average how long it takes you to read one page on average, you will find it will be, if you read at a moderate pace, it will be between 1.5 to 2 minutes. 1.5 to 2 minutes. Let's say 1.5 minutes. There are 604 pages in the Quran. And if you multiply that, it brings you to about 900 minutes. 900 minutes. How many minutes in a day? Anybody know? Huh? How many minutes in a day? 60 times 24. 1,440. 1,200 plus 240. 1,440. So 900 minutes is 15 hours out of 24 hours. Right? In those 15 hours, you have 9 hours to spare. In those 9 hours, you got to remember there's no food while you're fasting. So the meals are out. No time wasted on meals. Then there is the salawat that you are praying. So let's give 2 hours for the salawat. That gives you 6 hours for your sleep. That's more than enough. So you can see how it is more than possible for a person to finish the Quran in a whole day. Now, we are not saying everybody should go and, you know, try to recite, finish the whole Quran, because the aim of the Quran is to reflect upon it and to act upon it and to understand it and to take admonition from it. And we know that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Tabi'een and the Imams, that they had memorized the Quran, and they could walk and do whatever they are doing, sitting, lying, standing, engaging, whatever they're doing, and they could recite the Quran off by heart, and they could finish the Quran. And likewise, they would also understand its meaning. So it was kind of like a revision for them. So this is how the Salaf used to be with the Quran. Ibrahim al-Nakhai, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to finish the Quran in Ramadan every 3 nights. And likewise, in the last 10 days, he would finish it every 2 nights. And likewise, al-Aswad, rahimahullah, would recite the whole Quran in 2 nights in the whole of the month. Just a quick announcement: there is a Volkswagen van to be moved. It seems that you are blocking someone. Registration number N32JLM. This is a Volkswagen van. If you could move that, please. I think you are obstructing someone or blocking the road. So this is the first half of the Shaykh's explanation of tilawa lafziya. All of this is the tilawa which is lafziya, to do in wording. We want to finish quickly, inshallah ta'ala, with the second part of this, and this now is the tilawa hukmiya. The tilawa whereby you are actually following the commands of the Qur'an. And this is the true meaning of tilawa, of the true meaning of tilawa. And so this brings us to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those to whom we have given the book, they recite it as it truly should be recited. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those are the ones who truly believe in it. And the one who disbelieves in it, then they are the ones who are the losers. Now when we go back to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and look at how they explain this statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. This brings us back to this word, tilawa. Well, first of all, let us go to another chapter in the Qur'an, in which Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. By the sun, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, and the light which it brings. This is at the start of the day. At the beginning part of the day, you see the light approaching because the sun is bringing that light towards you, before you see the sun. And then at the other side of the day, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And by the moon, which follows the sun, this is when the sun has set, and then you see the crescent of the new moon. Right? It is following the sun as the sun is setting. Then it continues to follow the sun for the next 14 days. For the next 14 days, for the first half of the phases of the moon is always following after the sun. Right? In the first 14 days. So here, this is an oath Allah Azza wa Jalla is making, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, which means by the moon which follows it. It is following the sun. So here now we understand the meaning of tala and tilawa. And this is how the Sahaba explain this ayah in the Quran. Those who yatlunahu haqqa tilawatih. Those who follow the Quran, the book, as it truly should be followed. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He said, yattabi'unahu haqqa ittiba'ih. Those who follow it as it truly should be followed. And then he explained in more detail what this actually means. He said, يُحِلُّونَ حَلَالَهُ وَيُحَرِّمُونَ حَرَامَهُ وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَهُ عَنْ مَوَادِعِهِ. That they treat as halal what is halal in the Qur'an. And they treat as haram what is haram in the Qur'an. And they do not distort it, meaning the Qur'an, do not distort its verses from its proper places. And likewise we see from Mujahid, rahimahullah, يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ حَقَّ عَمَلِهِ. They act upon it, this Qur'an, as it truly should be acted upon. And likewise Al-Hasan, يَعْمَلُونَ بِمُحْكَمِهِ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِمُتَشَابِهِهِ وَيَكِلُونَ مَا أَشْكَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِهِ. That they act upon those verses which are clear in their meaning and their rulings. Very clear and apparent. Those which we clearly understand. Right? Avoid shirk. Establish the prayer. Be good to your parents. Do not steal. These are the clear, you know, ayat. And at the same time, they believe in those verses which are ambiguous, whose meanings are not clear to them. And as for that which is difficult to them, then they entrust its knowledge to the one who actually knows it. And likewise, we'll finish with one or two more statements. First of all, from Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and likewise the same from Qatada. What does it mean to follow the book of Allah? أن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقرأه كما أنزله الله. ولا يحرف الكلمة عن مواضعه ولا يتأول منه شيئا على غير تأويله. That he treats as halal what is halal, treats as haram what is haram. He recites it in the way that Allah revealed it, meaning upon His Messenger, and he does not distort its words from their proper places, nor does he give it a meaning other than its actual proper meaning. So after this, we short of time, but Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he goes on to mention how the Sahaba would take the Qur'an, that they would take, as Uthman bin Affan explained and Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that they would take 10 verses from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would memorize them, and then they would look into the meanings of these 10 verses, and then they would find whatever action they contained, and they would act upon those ayat before they move to the next 10 verses. And in this manner, step by step, 10 verses by 10 verses, they would learn the Qur'an. They said, فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَالْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ جَمِيعًا. All three together. We learned the Qur'an, meaning memorized it. We learned the ilm, meaning the meaning of that. وَالْعَمَلَ, we did it all together. All three things together. So meaning, they didn't sit and memorize the whole Qur'an or everything, and then look at what it contains of knowledge, and then gain all that knowledge, and then decide to act. But they would take 10 verses and combine everything together. Memorization, ilm, and amal. And so in this is the perfect methodology for acting upon the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an, and being of those who will be saved on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because they abided, they didn't make hijrah from the Qur'an, they acted upon the Qur'an. There are many other texts that the Shaykh brings from the Qur'an about the people who abandon the Qur'an, the people who abide by the Qur'an, and their outcome in the hereafter. So because of shortage of time, we'll just conclude there now, inshallah ta'ala. And our brother, Taqweem Abu Mu'adh, will give us a short reminder for the next 15-20 minutes before we break the fast. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.